RNIB has opened up new ways for vision impaired people to talk and support. Until fairly recently, as the name implies, Talk and Support was a collection of telephone-based social groups of blind and partially sighted adults with common interests chatting for a limited time every week. But aware that these days people communicate in a variety of different ways, not just the phone, the charity is now increasing the options for people to communicate with one another via their free Talk and Support service. We asked Amanda Hawkins, specialist lead for counselling and well-being at RNIB, about the new way Talk and Support now works. But we first asked Amanda to remind us about the history of the service.
The service that we offered historically was a number of groups that were facilitated by a dial-in. So we'd get 8 to 10 people together or 6 people together who wanted to talk about a certain topic, whether or not that was about transport or maybe it was about cooking or going to the pub, whatever that connection was. And then we would get a volunteer or a staff member to dial them in for 1 hour a week so they could talk from the comfort of their own homes on a telephone line and get that talk and nourishment and very much support that you get from peers from that way. But that's really sort of a time-consuming way of delivering support. We're not stopping that. We are still going to be offering those people that are engaged in that service that works for them. But what we recognise is that not everybody uses a telephone anymore. I don't have a telephone line at home. Lots of people don't have a telephone line. What we have is mobile phones and computers and smartphones. And what we need to do is look at how people connect in their everyday lives and think about how we can adapt the talk and support model to meet the new users that are coming online.
Well, perhaps before we talk about the kind of newer technology, I was interested by what you were saying about these groups that are formed. I presume you're saying they will stay. There must have been quite a few of them, because you could get a group of, as you say, 6-8 people together who've got a particular interest and who want to carry on discussing that. The possibilities are endless, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we had over 500 groups running a week, but it became limited and it became log jammed. So there were more people that wanted to talk and support that couldn't access, because these groups sometimes they were running for sort of 10 years.
That's a long time, but I can see how once you get into a group, they become friends as much as anything
else. Absolutely. Yeah, friends and a support. And, you know, if you live in a community where you're not surrounded by other blind people, this is a vital line to be able to get that support from other people who share similar issues as you on a weekly basis. And people found it very valuable. But in terms of going forward, we were recognising that not everybody was using the same technology anymore. Things had changed and we needed to adapt with that.
And trying to harness that enormous number of people, I guess people could well be members of more than one group, but how are you going to take that all forward? And you talked about newer technology, mobile phones, computers, mm-hmm. tablets and the like. What's the new RNIB talk and support looking like?
So the other platforms that we want to offer support on is using your smartphone, WhatsApp groups. So that's a kind of a messaging group. We can match people in the same way as we match through the telephone talk and support into groups. But instead of talking for just 1 hour a week, they can be texting on an ongoing basis and messaging each other to get that support. So a really good example of that is that somebody I talked to recently who has really down and depressed days. His sight is at the very last stages and he has sort of grey days and foggy days. And he said he'd love to just be in a group of like-minded people that when he gets up in the morning and he's feeling really low, that he can just put that message out there to say, I'm having a really bad day, or today's a really foggy day and that's a bad day for me. And then he'll get 6 replies back. And the 6 replies from people who will know just how he feels. And he's automatically getting that empathy and support. But he still works and he doesn't have that hour in the day to sit down and talk. So it's just a different way. It's the same support, but it's a different way. So that's one thing that we want to do. The other thing is that some people perhaps don't have smartphones, but they may be on email, and they may like a letter, you know, or an email once a week from another person. Something they can take time in constructing, maybe things they want to say, just using another medium, for example. Another suggestion is that we have a Facebook page, which is something we're exploring at the moment. We ran a lot of book groups through Talk and Support, and we were trying to find an alternative way that we can support the book groups but have more people coming into them So the idea is to have an open group on a Facebook page where we can post a book that's recommended and worth reading, and people can come in and comment. So again, coalescing people around subjects that matter to them, things that are important, but not necessarily at a local level, at a national level as well.
Now, it strikes me that you are very much trying to embrace everybody, because you talked about emails, and there may well be more elderly, blind or partially sighted people who are less comfortable with this kind of social media way of doing things through WhatsApp and Facebook, etc. So it's all come as welcome, I take it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, my own father's 80 and he doesn't have a landline anymore. So if he lost his sight, the only way for him to access these services is via his mobile phone. He uses WhatsApp to text me on a daily basis, you know. So I think we can't say that older people aren't using these technologies. They are. And as that population moves forward, these will probably be the majority of the ways we communicate. And really it was looking at how do we communicate in our daily lives now? These are the means that we use. And actually, in many ways, the telephone is antiquated for many people. There are a selection of the population where telephone is the only option. So I think if you're perhaps in a care home, we very much do want to be reaching those people. But what we don't want to do is just be isolating. That's being the only way. There are lots of other ways that people connect and support each other these days, and we want to make sure that we're using all of those platforms so people feel they can connect. And they don't necessarily want the hand-holding, so we would have a facilitator in that meeting that would be there to connect everybody, whereas once we've connected people on WhatsApp groups, that's their group then. They can go off and do what they want. And it's changing that assumption that people need looking after in that way. You know, some people might want that safety. Other people might just want to go off and do with it what they want to do.
So you just become the kind of facilitator to get things sort of off the ground and up and running. And then they can, if they want, just take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. But they can always come back to us as well if there's an issue. So there's going to be an infrastructure behind that to look after people if they're not happy. I mean, I think technology has been great for blind and partially sighted people. It's opened up a lot of aspects of life. So we need to be embracing that. And a lot of people do use these technologies to support each other. There's a lot of support groups online now. And I think we need to move forward with that.
Well, here we are now then towards the beginning of 2020. In quite a lot of what you've been talking about, you've sort of indicated aims, ideas and things you really would like to do in the future. Does that mean that things are still fairly fluid? Do you want to hear from people? Is this going to be a case of you forming what you do with RNIB Talk and Support, responding to what people want? And do you want to hear from people?
If people have got other ways that they want to connect, we'd very much like to hear of those ways or other ways that work better for them. But these are things that we are definitely planning to do. If people want to try it out and then give us feedback, that would be fantastic too.
Now, should you want to join a talk and support group, and as we heard, there are a fair number of different groups discussing all sorts of topics and interests, then you can email talk and support, all one lowercase word, at rnib.org.uk or phone 020 7391 2218. That's 020 7391 2218. Once you're in touch with them, you can then discuss which method of communicating with fellow Talk and Support members might suit you best. And, as Amanda Hawkins explained, there are now quite a few ways to choose from. And, of course, you can also ask about all the various groups there are, or, maybe, even see about starting a new one.